Hello, this is the Archaeology News Weekly. I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. New research shows Malaysia was a pottery-making trading hub 3,000 years ago. Archaeologists discover remains of ancient Miami residents. A new discovery at Woolamay National Park in Australia is an Aboriginal seat of the gods. A complete ancient Thracian chariot is unearthed in Bulgaria. And we may have finally the answer to all the Atlantis stories. Finally, Iranian Sivand Dam opens amid huge heritage fears for the archaeological sites. From about 3,000 to 2,000 years ago, the Semporna Peninsula in Malaysia was a late Stone Age population hub and craft centre. Experts have found millions of sherds, which show that the Bukit Tengkorak archaeological site was one of the largest, if not the largest, pottery-making sites in island Southeast Asia and the Pacific during the Neolithic. Their findings have overturned some theories about how prehistoric people lived and traded in the region. Until the excavations here, archaeologists believed that long-distance sea trade and migration of people in insular Southeast Asia and the Pacific moved east from Melanesia to Polynesia, leaving behind what is known as the Lapita culture of pottery, stone tools and ornaments. Research, however, has now shown that 3,000 years ago, people were not only moving east towards New Britain and Melanesia, but also westwards towards Sabah. This is one of the longest trading routes in the world during the Neolithic period, with obsidian found at the site traced chemically to Talisay in New Britain, 3,500 kilometres away. Archaeologists have found ancient human remains at a Brickell Avenue development site, showing that downtown Miami and much of South Florida in the USA was inhabited thousands of years ago. Fragmented bones belonging to five or six members of the now extinct Tequesta tribe, or even its ancestors, were unearthed in recent weeks at Brickell Avenue in Miami. This is not nearly at the same scale of what we've seen in other downtown areas, but it was definitely a cemetery, and the question is the extent of it. State law requires a full archaeological assessment of any site that reveals human remains, and the reburial of those remains at the original location or as close as is feasible. The process can delay construction, but state law does not require termination of development at such sites. The initial discovery of the remains, two leg bones, was made in March by archaeologist Richard Hyduvan, who was hired by the developer. Scientists have not yet been able to determine the age of the bones, but the fragments were surrounded by pottery shards, animal bones and an arrowhead, most of which appear to be from around 2,000 to 3,500 years old. Ancient human remains are not unusual in South Florida. The Tequesta, a hunter-gatherer group, thrived for around 2,500 years before succumbing in the 1700s to Europeans and the germs that they carried. A rock platform in the heart of the Woolamay Wilderness may be the closest thing that Australia has to Mount Olympus. Last spring, archaeologists discovered an enormous slab of sandstone, 100 metres long and 50 metres wide, in the Woolamay National Park. It was covered in ancient art. The gallery depicted an unprecedented collection of powerful ancestral beings from the Aboriginal mythology. Last week, the archaeologists who found the platform returned with a rock art expert from Griffith University and several of the colleagues. For most of the day, the engravings are almost invisible. In the low light of dawn and dusk, though, the images are briefly revealed. The team had 5 days to document 42 figurative motifs, and by the first evening, Professor Tasson, Mr. Brennan and Dr. Kelleher had recognised a gathering of gods. This has been hailed as the most amazing rock engraving site in the whole of southeastern Australia. Even in famous rock art regions in the north of the country, it's extremely rare to see such large gatherings of the ancestral beings depicted together. It's almost impossible to imagine how humans could travel through, let alone survive in the Woolamay. It's dissected by deep canyons, and in places it's almost impassable. And yet, the archaeologists have found hundreds of sites in the past 5 years. It seems almost certain that the engravings are part of a much larger network of song lines and stories, the full meaning of which is all but lost. In many cases, the figures seem to point to other important geographical features or major cultural sites, and possibly to patterns of stars. The team also found evidence of everyday existence, such as rock shelters that still bear signs of their occupants, such as hand stencils, a partial stone axe head, flakes from stone tools, and at the back of a cave, timber that could only have been stacked by a human. I, for one, am looking forward to hearing more about this exploration. A completely intact Thracian chariot was unearthed by the Bulgarian archaeologist Veselin Ignatov. The chariot was found near a burial barrow close to the central Bulgarian town of Novo Zagora. Ignatov and his team have already dated the findings to the 2nd century BCE. The chariot has two wheels, with its roof made of heavy bronze in the form of eagle's heads, and a folding iron chair where the driver would sit. The chariot was aimed to be pulled by three horses. The uniqueness of the find is that it is completely intact, with all its parts in place except for the wooden elements, and they can now calculate the precise size and how exactly it was placed in the tomb. Ignatov believes a second chariot will be found as the excavations continue. Luckily, this time the archaeologists reached the finds before the treasure hunters, because unfortunately they only look for the gold and unfortunately destroy all the other valuable archaeological objects in their quest for this. Another Thracian chariot was found near Sadievo village and another near Korton. So now the Regional Historical Museum of Nova Zagora plans to open a museum of Thracian chariots. Well, let's hope they put this next to the Museum of Skoda cars. Just kidding there. The legend of Atlantis may be more than just a myth. Research on the Greek island of Crete suggests Europe's earliest civilization was destroyed by a giant tsunami. Until about 3,500 years ago, the Minoan civilization was flourishing in the eastern Mediterranean. But around 1,500 BCE, the people who spawned the myths of the Minotaur and the Labyrinth abruptly disappeared. Now the mystery of this cataclysmic end may finally have been solved. A group of scientists and archaeologists have uncovered new evidence that the island of Crete was hit by a massive tsunami at the same time that the Minoan culture disappeared. Dutch-born geologist Professor Hendrik Bruns of the Ben-Gurion University of the Negev in Israel explains, "The geoarchaeological deposits contain a number of distinct tsunami signatures, Minoan building material, pottery, and cups, along with food residues such as isolated animal bones, all mixed up with rounded beach pebbles and seashells, as well as microscopic marine fauna. The latter can only have been scooped up from the seabed by one mechanism, that's a powerful tsunami, dumping all the materials together in a destructive swoop. And the deposits are up to 7 meters above sea level, well above the normal reach of storm waves. One of the Minoans' largest settlements was at Palicastro, on the eastern edge of the island, one of the sites where Canadian archaeologist Sandy McGilvery has been excavating for the past 25 years. Here he has found other telltale signs, such as buildings where the walls facing the sea are missing completely, but side walls, which would have survived a giant wave, are left intact. McGilvery admits a lot of the deposits are now starting to make sense. And even though the town of Palicastro is a port, it stretched hundreds of metres into the hinterland and, in places, was at least 15 metres above sea level. To destroy a place like this required a very big wave. But if this evidence is so clear, then why has it never been discovered earlier? That's mainly because the study of ancient tsunamis is in its infancy, and people have not, until now, known exactly what to look for. Many scientists were still of the view that these waves only blasted material away and did not leave much behind in the way of deposits. But observations after the Asian tsunami of 2004 have changed all that. The scientists have also obtained radiocarbon dates from the deposits that show that the tsunami could have hit the Minoan coast at exactly the same time as an eruption of the Santorini volcano, 70 kilometres north of Crete, in the middle of the 2nd millennium BCE. Recent scientific work has established that the Santorini eruption was up to 10 times more powerful than the eruption of Krakatoa in 1883. Now, that eruption caused massive climatic disruption to the world, and the blast was heard over 3,000 miles away. It's not clear if the tsunami would have reached inland to the Minoan capital at Knossos, but the fallout from the volcano would have carried other consequences, massive ash falls and crop failure. With their ports, trading fleets and navy destroyed, the Minoans would never have fully recovered. The myth of Atlantis has had a hold of the popular imagination for centuries, and perhaps we have now an explanation of its origin, the folk memory of a very real ancient civilization swallowed by the sea. A new dam is due to open in southern Iran amid criticism that it will flood an ancient site holding archaeological relics dating back over 7,000 years. The Iranian government says the Sivan Dam in the Balaji Gorge is needed by farmers in an area that has become a desert. Heritage activists have appealed to the president himself to postpone the flooding by some years so that excavation can continue. Archaeologists have discovered ancient winemaking vessels, clay kilns and prehistoric caves in the area. Many relics have been removed to the museum, but the sites themselves will be flooded, which conservationists argue will be a huge loss. But the government is going to go ahead with the inauguration of the dam because it says that farmers in the area desperately need water for irrigation. Iranian archaeologists and activists condemn the Tehran government for going ahead with the dam, calling it outright stupidity. Archaeologists say flooding from the dam will even submerge the royal passage, which linked Persepolis to Susa, two capital cities in ancient Persia, as well as some of the 130 ancient sites along the Tang-e-Balaji, a mountain path that crosses the Sivan River. Controversially, Iran's Islamic-orientated government has not shown much concern for cultural sites from the Persian era, unlike the country's more recent Muslim monuments. The Sivan Dam has highlighted the bitter struggle between those who want to modernise and develop Iran at any cost and heritage experts who want society to place greater value on the country's rich ancient heritage and do more to preserve it. Well, there's a question. Why not join up with Stone Pages Forum right now and discuss this topic? Should the past get in the way of the future? And on that sad note, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities are available on Badger, that's the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website, www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at Stone Pages, that's news.stonepages.com. There's of course also Past Horizons website for volunteer archaeology opportunities abroad. And that's at www.pasthorizons.com. Well, thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return to us again next week.